Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our reflections and meditations on Jesus of the Gospels. We are taking the Gospel of Mark as our lead in following the historical Jesus. We have seen some of his miraculous activities. The last one we saw was the cleansing of the leper. And after that episode, it was said that Jesus could not enter the town publicly. So the people were going out to him outside the town, and he was healing. Now, after this initial introduction of the preaching and healing ministry of Jesus, Mark has introduced a section of controversies and conflicts between Jesus and the leaders. We have already said there are in the second section of the first part of the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel presents five such conflicts. And today we are going to analyze the first one. That was in connection with the healing of a paralytic. And in narrating that episode, Mark tells us how this healing was related to the forgiving of sins. So he's somehow pointing out the relation between sin and sickness, between healing and forgiving. And this healing and forgiving activity of Jesus triggers a controversy with the leaders of Judaism, the lawyers. So the first episode we are going to analyze today. First we shall read and then try to understand the implications of this narration. I shall read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. When he returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door. And he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carrying by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves. And he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This is the report of the Gospel of Mark. The same event is reported also by Matthew and Luke with slight variations. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 2 to 8, and Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. Now let us analyze this particular episode. When he returned to Capernaum after some days, that means after the initial preaching at Capernaum that was followed by miraculous activities and his stay at home at the house of Peter, Jesus had gone around Capernaum, traveling in Galilee, healing people, casting out demons, and he became very, very popular. People gathered from all over the country. They want to see him, they want to touch him, they wanted to be healed. People were aware that there was a particular power in him, that God was working through him. So the crowds were attracted to Jesus. Now Jesus comes back to Capernaum that had become almost his town. And he had a kind of base camp or headquarters of his activities in Capernaum. And it seems that the house of Peter has functioned as the base camp for the Jesus movement group. Now, it was reported that he was at home. At home, at whose home, it is not said. So Jesus being at home, here probably in the house of Peter. If we go today to Capernaum, we see the ruins of that house. This might have been the house of Peter or a house rebuilt on the ruins of Peter's house. Now we will be shown the ruins of a huge house over which a beautiful church is being built, where we can pray, where we can celebrate the Eucharist, and people come to appreciate. On the lake shore of Galilee, we see the house of Peter at Capernaum. So Jesus was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door. So Jesus was a crowd puller, so to say. Crowds gathered around him because of two things. Because they liked what he was speaking. Because he was speaking their language, the language of the people. He was addressing their problems and their concerns. He was answering to their concerns, their worries. They were worried about their health. They were worried about their future. They were worried about their family and the political situation of the country. They were worried about their lives. And what Jesus spoke to them made sense. He was not like the scribes. He was not like the other leaders. He was one among them. He was a carpenter. He knew the problems of the working class. He knew hunger. He knew fatigue. And he knew how hard it is for a family to live, make a living. And he had a word to tell them. A word that gave them courage. A word that made them go ahead in spite of all the worries and concerns. So he spoke to them. They wanted to listen to him. They wanted to hear this word. And he was speaking the word to them. Mark doesn't say what word he spoke. The very fact that Jesus spoke the word is enough, and that is important for Mark. We have already seen Mark telling us what Jesus was speaking to them, that the time is fulfilled, that the kingdom of God is at the door, that the people have to repent, they have to change their ways, they change their lifestyle, they had to believe. And they believed and they came. So he was speaking to them the word. And as he was speaking, there comes somebody. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. A person is being carried, a person totally paralyzed, a person who cannot walk, a person who has somehow maybe lost all hope of ever standing up and walking on his own. A paralyzed person, a person totally ruined, so to say, a person who is desperate, who has lost his hope. He can wait for only one thing, that is the end of the suffering, that is death. And to such a miserable person, Jesus will have something to say. People thought that he would do something to this unhappy, miserable, pathetic patient. So this paralyzed person was being carried by four. So here we see concern. Concern of friends. who do not abandon as a useless burden a person who is paralyzed. This paralyzed person has friends. And these friends consider him as valid, as worthy, as someone who needs care, as someone who is worthy of care. They carry this person to Jesus. They carry this person to Jesus because these people believe that Jesus will care, that Jesus will do something for this person. It is that faith, that belief, that forced them to carry this paralyzed person. We do not know from where. The gospel doesn't say how far this person is being carried. From where he comes, we do not know. But we know that he is being carried. A person who cannot walk. A person who has lost hope. And when they come to Jesus, they find an obstacle. The persons who carry the paralyzed person cannot come to Jesus. The crowds is an obstacle. The door is closed, or the door is somehow covered by persons. The small house, inside is full, outside full, no way to get in. So an unsurmountable obstacle. But faith does not surrender. Faith knows no obstacle. Faith will find some way of overcoming this obstacle. And that's what these four friends of the paralyzed person do. And when they could not bring him in to Jesus because of the crowd, they remove the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. A very dramatic activity indeed. Of course, the house of Peter is something different from what the houses we usually see today. It is not a big roof. It's not a concrete building. It's a one-story building, the roof of which is made of clay and twigs. They build up the wall with stones or mud bricks and put beams across the wall, the distance of about 2 to 3 feet. And the distance and the space in between the beams is covered by twigs or brushwood, and that is covered by clay. So it's a kind of roof of clay and twigs. So the space in between the two beams could be easily removed. And that's what the people are doing. They don't destroy the whole house. They don't pull down the whole roof. Only dig a hole through which the paralyzed person could be let down. So not much damage has been done to the house. But at the same time, it's very instructive. The moment Jesus comes into the house, you may lose your roof. Franco Zeffirelli, in his very famous film, Jesus of Nazareth, has beautifully pictured this particular scene, where the paralyzed person is being carried onto the roof, and then how this roof is being removed and the person letting down the paralytic before Jesus. And Peter becoming all excited and angry and worried. "You look, what are you doing with my house? Don't ruin my house." Peter is upset. Well, that is what would happen to us also. If we let Jesus into our house, we may lose much. We may lose the roof. We may lose the peace in the house. Because Jesus attracts crowd, we may lose our loneliness. People will come. Crowds will throng into the house, before the house. We lose our time and peace, and we may lose much. And that's what Jesus said. If anybody wants to follow me, he should be ready to lose everything for me. So now coming back to the paralytic. This paralytic was let down before Jesus. And what does Jesus do? When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic. When he saw their faith, it's not explicitly the faith of the paralytic. The paralytic is presented as a passive person, as his body is, without the capacity to move. And it seems that even his mind and his heart is paralyzed. He doesn't utter a word. Nothing is said about his mood. Nothing is said about his attitude. Nothing. Only about the faith of the people who carried him. It's the faith of the friends that Jesus is. Here we see the importance of mediation. Mediating for the sick. Mediating for the sinners. Mediating for everybody. Later on, Paul would say you should offer intercessory prayers for the rulers, for the leaders, and for all who are sick, who are well. We have to pray for all. It's the faith of these four friends that moves Jesus to say, to speak the word, seeing their faith. And very often we see in the Gospels that the faith brings salvation. Jesus has explicitly said it several times. In Mark 5:34, we hear Jesus telling the woman with a hemorrhage who believed that if only I could touch the fringe of his cloth, I would be well. She had been ill for a long, long time. She has wasted all her money on doctors, and all for that she became all the worse, Mark would say. No better. And then came this faith. If only I could touch not the person, just the fringe of his cloth, I would be healed. So she came timidly from behind and just touched the fringes of his cloth, and she realized that the flow of blood has ceased, that she has become well. Now Jesus tells, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." That's a faith. Your faith has healed you. To so many people, Jesus would say, repeat the same thing. The boy who was possessed, a boy with epilepsy, is reported in the Gospel of Mark. And this boy was brought his father to the disciples, and Jesus was up on the mountain praying. And the disciples, none of them could heal the boy. And when the father saw that Jesus was coming down, and Jesus asked, "What is all this commotion?" Then the father of the boy would say, in Mark chapter 9, verse 17 and following, "Someone from the crowd answered him, 'Teacher, I brought you my son. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. And whenever it seizes him, it dashes him down. And he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to cast it out, but they could not do so.' He answered them, 'You faithless generations, how much longer must I be among you? How much longer must I put up with you?'" And so continued the conversation. At the end, the father would say, "It has often cast him into the fire and into the water," verse 22, "to destroy him. But if you are able to do anything, have pity on us and help us." If you are able to do anything, that is the father says. Jesus said to him, "If you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes." All things can be done. All things are possible for the one who believes. So it is a faith that brings in the power of God to work. Immediately the father of the child cried out, "I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief." That's what we all say. We try to believe. And very often our faith is so weak. Very often our experience has betrayed us. Very often the situation, the concrete reality, somehow makes it impossible to believe. The disasters that befall in our lives, in our family, in our personal experiences. Maybe many reasons make it difficult for us to believe. We try to believe, and then, like the father of this boy, cry out, "I believe, make me stronger, enable me to believe." And then Jesus heals. The same thing happens with the blind man called Bartimaeus. in chapter 10, verse 52 of Mark. Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed Jesus. Your faith has made you well. So this is faith. Jesus, seeing the faith of the friends, tells the paralyzed person. It's the faith of the friends that moves Jesus to say, not the faith of the person who is sick, but the faith of the persons who brought him. The necessity of believing, praying for others. Praying for others who find it difficult to believe. Even those who find it impossible to believe. Like this person, we do not know if he believed or not. He was so miserable. He was so taken up by his illness. He was so immobilized by his paralysis that somebody else had to pray for him. Somebody else had to believe for him. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." We need to analyze this sentence of Jesus closely. Say the first word, son. Son, the Greek word used is technon. Technon means child. It's not a grown-up son. It is a child, little child. That is how Jesus addresses his disciples at the Last Supper. Children, have no fear. So this is a kind of relation between mother and the suckling child. A tender, loving care of God for the individuals. It's a rahma the prophet spoke about. It's something like the affection, the tender love that the mother feels for her unborn child or her suckling child. So by this very address, Jesus is telling the paralyzed person, "You are someone precious for me. You are someone precious for God. Don't be so miserable. Don't think that God has abandoned you. Don't think that this illness is a curse of God. Son, you are precious. You are my child. I love you. God is with you. God cares for you." So the very address and the way, the tenderness with which Jesus addresses the person brings hope. It brings, awakens faith. So Jesus tells, "Son," and what is the next? "Your sins are forgiven." Your sins are forgiven. Nobody spoke about sin. The friends who brought the person never thought of such a thing. What they wanted was healing. What they thought that Jesus would heal this person and he'd let him walk. But instead of that, everybody is surprised by Jesus' word, "Son, your sins are forgiven." What does it mean? What is the relation between sin and paralysis? What is the relation between forgiveness and healing? We'll have to discuss it in detail. That we'll do in our next reflection. Now, let us conclude, recapturing what we had been telling. Resuming. Jesus comes to his base camp after a short tour of Galilee. Jesus had become very popular. People heard about him. Crowds gather around him. The preaching of Jesus had attracted crowds, and his miraculous activities have attracted more crowds. And they come to him because they want to listen to him. They come because they want to be healed. And all those whom he touches, all those who touch him are healed. And because of that, there is an immense crowd before the house of Peter. And into this crowd comes the paralytic carried by four of his friends. And their faith moves them to do the impossible, to climb up the roof, remove the roof, make a hole, dig a hole in the roof, and bring the paralyzed person down before Jesus. They are doing all they can to bring the person before Jesus. That is friends doing. That is intercession. Intercession of believers before Jesus. Of course, Jesus could have heal this person without any intercession. But God wants that we intercede for our friends. We intercede for all people. God wants to be a family, family of believers, a family of friends, family who cares for each other. And this faith of theirs, the friends, moved Jesus to act. And that act is expression of love, expression of forgiveness. And we continue in our next reflection, the forgiving, healing activity of Jesus. Let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, the incarnation of your forgiving love, the manifestation of your tender affection for us. Father, we believe that you care for us, that you love us, but very often our concrete circumstances and situations, our sinfulness, our helplessness, our sickness and misery make it impossible for us to believe. We try to believe, strengthen our faith, heal our hearts, heal our wounds, open our eyes to see your face that smiles upon us with tender love. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.